So if you just joined us today, I apologize that you're dropping into what's basically been a year and a bit sermons on John. But that's okay. Better late than never. John is trying to make a point about who Jesus Christ is. Always does. He's trying to get across to us the understanding that Jesus isn't just a good guy. But he's definitely not a lunatic, although many in life call him that. But he is exactly who he claims to be, the living God incarnate in the human form. And so we drop into this particular part of John, and what's happened is Jesus is at the time which we know as the Last Supper, and he's now downloading a lot of information to his disciples. Loads and loads of it. And if you ever want about a heavy evening, then you know this is it. So he gets to this point, and he's just said, you all need to love each other. Which is why we started with my command. This is my command, love each other. We know that 10 commandments, but this is the command that Jesus gives, love each other. So all of this next context needs to be held in that concept of love each other. And then he's going on to explain how the world is going to hate those who follow Jesus Christ because it hated him first. So we're in for a cheery message. I've said it many times, I have very little talent building things with my hand. Give me images, give me words, I can do that. Hands, but I love watching YouTube. There's this guy I was watching recently, and he's building a house, and he's recorded it all on YouTube, him and his mates. He's building a house. And so you can watch it bit by bit. And it's just quite incredible what he gets up to. And you kind of go, wow, that's just amazing. Here we are building this bit and build that bit. And if you go through enough of the YouTubes, because he's made loads of them, this is not a 5-minute job, this is an investment of time. But it's fun to watch. You go, that's just incredible. And you see these things, and you say, that's just amazing to watch that creation taking place. I've seen it done with artists. One of the best ones is when you see an artist that paints something, and by the end of it you realize the very first stroke they knew what they were going to produce. And by the time the last stroke comes off, I finally go, aha, that's what it is. Because I've got a concept. They knew. And when you look through it, you kind of go, isn't that amazing seeing that creation? Well, if you could have watched the stars being formed and the world coalesce and everything being put in its proper place and its proper time by the living Creator, I hope you would stand in awe and kind of go, this is the work of God. But John wants us to understand. This is what he's been leading up to. The way he records all the different things. The activity of Jesus Christ on earth is the activity of God. The same awe that I hope we would experience had we watched and been there as the very first kicked off and went, isn't this incredible? The earth walked around it. If we could imagine what Adam and Eve, as they walked around a garden created perfectly for them, must have thought, well, this is just amazing. If we could have been there, then John is trying to get across and say that the same actions that Jesus made is the same God. It's the same activity by the same person, and you need to recognize it. You need to recognize it, says John, when the person I'm talking about, Jesus, heals those who are sick. You need to recognize it, says John, when the person turns water into wine and bypasses time. Hello. 6 days, I could do the whole universe in wine. Not a problem. Same person, God's activity. When it's recorded in the Gospels about Jesus freeing those who have been oppressed by the demonic, that's God. Jesus takes people who are outside of community due to sin or false perceptions or both, and Jesus comes and declares them clean and righteous and puts them back into community. That is the activity of God. And he puts people back into community because Jesus exists in community with the Father and the Spirit. This is the activity of God. And so what we start off with is we need to understand that John is showing that Jesus' activity is the activity of God. And those with wisdom and faith have the same sense of awe that we would have had at the creation of the very universe. So that's the first thing. This is not ad hoc. This is actually the living God. And then he says to us, I'm commanding you to love one another. Now, this seems like, you know, an oxymoron. I'm commanding you to love me. He's not saying I'm forcing you to it. He's just saying it is of such importance that this must be our main focus. So everything he's saying, because the activity of God proves who he is, so listen carefully, we must love one another. And the earlier part of this passage, which we haven't read, is all about Jesus saying, make sure you love one another. Demonstrate that love for one another. And then he starts to talk about him as the true vine, and he says, while the true vine exists within inside of me, and you will dwell with me. He starts to talk about technical words, the ecclesia, we know as the church, and he says, you, all of us here, will exist within me, Jesus Christ. We are going to dwell within him. So the church becomes his way of expressing because you've been pulled out and changed, because you're no longer part of the cosmos, the world, you're no longer part of that, you're in a different area, those who are left behind are going to view you differently and treat you differently. And you are to expect that. But he says this church stretches beyond Jew, stretches beyond Gentile, existing in me, Jesus Christ. So get it, guys. You're going to get persecuted because the world disagrees with me, Jesus, and you are associating with me, and that's going to come to you. And then he talks about, well, I'm going to send you the Holy Spirit. Now, interestingly enough, these particular things about did the Holy Spirit get sent by Jesus or just by the Father, it's argued over by loads and loads of denominations, and there's been all sorts of things written about it, and I'm going to deal with that in a moment. So that's the end of that. But he does say, I'm sending you the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is coming to us, the Spirit of truth. And so he says, the Spirit of truth will come upon you, and the Spirit of truth necessitates change on our part. You see, if we expect the authority of Jesus Christ because we follow him, we also must expect the persecution which happens because we follow him. It's not just you going, yes, I follow Jesus Christ, I do what he does, but oh, I'm going to shy away from all the bad stuff. You've got to say, well, if you're going to stand for something, you stand for the whole lot, and you take what comes with it. Hebrews makes it clear that Jesus' teaching, his word is this, for the word of God is alive and powerful. It is sharper than the sharpest two-edged sword, cutting between soul and spirit, between joint and marrow. It exposes our innermost thoughts and desires. Nothing in all creation is hidden from God. Everything is naked and exposed before his eyes, and he is the one to whom we are accountable. If we're going to say, we're going to follow the living God, and that's his standard, the first reality we've got to come across because this is going to affect us, it will necessitate change, and we've got to accept that. And one of the changes is if you step out from the world is no longer going to love you. So here's the first thing. What's best is not often what's hard. It really isn't. And in fact, I'd go far to say that most times when things are popular, they're not good. Not 100%, but you know, there's a reason why things are popular in the world, and it doesn't coalesce with what it means to be a believer in Jesus Christ. But what is best is not often what's popular. So if we're in this for a popularity contest, we're going to fail. So we've just got to come to terms with that. You're going to continually be saying, but I stand for this, and I believe in that, and I act in this particular way, and you're going to find yourself at odds with most people, and that's going to cause friction from small to large, depending exactly what you say and who you say. It might be a simple say that you're different from all your neighbours. Yeah. To some people and some believers around the world find persecution from governments because of believing in Jesus Christ. Now, I hope you notice within Silas that there's a beautiful part of the prayer in there today where it said, let's pray for those who are not yet believers. Not people who aren't with Jesus, all them, but they're not yet believers. We have hope that people who disagree with us will eventually be called by the Lord. That's always the hope. Now, there's a passage in Matthew, it reads like this, part of the end of a parable. When the king came in to meet the guests, he noticed a man who wasn't wearing the proper clothes for a wedding. Friend, he asked, how is it that you are here without wedding clothes? But the man had no reply. Then the king said to his aides, bind his hands and feet and throw him into the outer darkness, for there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth, for many are called, but few are chosen. It's a really odd sort of thing when you read that particular passage. You say, okay, this guy gets invited into the feast, he gets into the feast, and suddenly the master of the feast spots and says, you're not wearing my clothes, throw him out. Okay? Odd. Really what it's referring to is saying, you've got to actually wear the proper attire. You've got to be the right person. You've got to be that person. I can offer kindness to anybody. Kindness will be accepted by anybody who doesn't want people being kind. Because kindness, as I've often said, demands nothing in way of receiving all to be giving. But what we're saying to move into the kingdom of God is you've got to accept the goodness of God. And goodness demands all of the person who needs something from it, and is given by the living God. And so goodness says, step into my way. Put on my Holy Spirit, wear the right clothing, accept the truth of who he is, and live your life accordingly. So it's very good to say, I believe in Jesus Christ, but if you actually don't put on the garment of goodness, if you don't put on the Spirit of truth, if he's not dwelling within inside you, you're not in the kingdom of God. We are sealed by the Holy Spirit, and he says to us, to you, the Holy Spirit, he will come into you and he will be the Spirit of truth. So if we believe in Jesus Christ, we put on the visible attire because he dwells within us. And the Holy Spirit, as the Spirit of truth, says this, do we believe in absolute truth? Absolutely. There is right and there is wrong. It's as simple as that. And I'll argue with anyone who thinks differently. Ironically, they can't say that to me, but I can't say that to them. So if you don't believe in absolute truth, you can't disagree with me. But I can disagree. I can say that absolutely some things are right, absolutely some things are wrong. The Holy Spirit says that. And we need to be wise as to what they are. So that then comes in a test. And the first one is we need to be truthful around others. Our lives need to be consistent in the outside world so that the visible and public profession of what we claim inside the church, you are sinning. God will judge those on the outside, but as the scripture says, you must remove the evil person from among you. Now, let's just take what is the ideal result. Now, the ideal result is not who haven't I picked on recently. Okay, Andrew will pick on Andrew. We find Andrew's doing something right. The ideal result is not just, go out the church. The idea is to challenge Andrew and say, stop the sin, come back, and dance a week. And so being part of the community of faith and accepting the spirit of truth says that I'm willing to stand up and say, brother, I genuinely believe the action that you're doing does not accord with what God would have you do. This is why I think, this is where I think it comes from in the Bible, that you should change your tactics or what you're doing. As I said, I went to college with a guy, swore like a trooper. It's not surprising, he came from a bikie gang. And about 4 or 5 months into being at college, someone once pointed it out and showed the verse and said, let your words be uplifting. And then said, brother, sometimes when you're swearing, I don't find it uplifting. And he was shocked. No one had ever told him. To change. That's accountability in action. And so there is a big difference between how the spirit of truth is represented in the outside world, we need to be consistent, and how it's represented within our community of faith, because we need to be willing to challenge and be challenged. It takes the most mature in the world to go back to a person and say, thank you for raising that with me, because I know when you raised it, it's truth with the outside world and truth with the community of faith. But the one we fail with a lot of is truth with ourselves. It's simple to appear one thing but think something else. And you could all be thinking, all sorts of things. But you all sit here smiling. Why do I love smiles? Feel free, smile all the time. It's good. But who knows what's going on in there? And I'll never know. I've got no chance. None of us have. But God does. And so ultimately, you need to challenge yourself and say, is what I believe consistent with my thought life? Is what I believe consistent with how I hold myself accountable before God? The Spirit of Truth. Jesus says, I promise you the Spirit of Truth, and he will come to you, and he will help you have courage in the face of guaranteed adversity. Don't sign up for Jesus Christ and think this is an easy ride. It's a free gift, not an easy ride. Warren Wiersbe says, the world from a Christian point of view involves all the people, plans, organizations, activities, philosophies, values that belong to society without God. Some of these things may be very cultural, others may be very corrupt, but all of them have their origins in the heart and mind of sinful man and promote what sinful man wants to enjoy and accomplish. As Christians, we must be careful not to love the world or to be conformed to the world. I've got this great board game. It's a Star Wars board game. And in this Star Wars board game, to carry on the whole thing of Star Wars, if you've ever seen the Star Wars trilogy, number two, not the real ones, the first one, okay. The real ones, number two is The Empire Strikes Back. And if you watch the first joyous one, by the way, I'm going to give away the ending, you haven't seen it, well, it's 50 years since it came out, whatever it was. In the first one, the Death Star's blown up. Shock, horror, there you go. But that doesn't get rid of the Empire. The Empire strikes back, and in number two, we find the rebels Batty, that's Rebecca, by the way, who plays the Empire, they search and they have to find the rebel base. Now, what's interesting is the rebels have very few people. The Empire has loads. And as time goes on, the Empire gets more and more and more. And the rebels have got to just hide out. And if that was all the game, the Empire would lose all the time. Because eventually, there's a finite horde. You move around until eventually you go, is that your base? And you go, yes, it is. And then this huge force comes and wipes you. The Empire do have a, the rebels do have a chance. This is what they've got to do. The rebels have got to hold out long enough, and then with courage, some of them have to leave the rebel base and do heroic acts all around this board. And if they do enough heroic acts, they tip the balance. And everybody in the universe goes, we hate the Empire, we'll support the rebels. Everybody joins in and the rebels win. It's great. It's very tense. And you actually have your characters and you say, I'm putting my character into this particular spot over here. And they try this particular thing. And you know what? The Empire can capture them. And you lose your character. It disappears off the board and you go, I've just lost my character. Rebecca's there, very happy. If the rebels just sit in their base and do nothing, they lose. But if they act heroically, if they go out into a world and they carry the message of hope, then the whole game I've been in churches